Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Hitchcock with the asset protection estate planning firm Barth Calderon, and welcome to Wealth Protector TV. And some of you may be listening to this on Wealth Protector Radio. I'm here with my colleague Brad Barth today. Brad, can you hear me okay?
Yes, Paul. Thank you.
Great. And we're talking about a really important subject today, because here at the firm, we do about 40 to 50 workshops a year across the country on estate planning, asset protection planning. Brad is one of our top speakers. And Brad, you know better than anyone that one of the hot topics at these workshops is being a trustee.
All right.
And so we want to talk about your trustee coaching focus today. But I guess the first question I want to ask, because this is what comes up at workshops, is if somebody is a trustee, describe what that role is about and kind of what their responsibilities are.
Sure. It's a great question, because it comes up all the time. Like, oh my gosh, I'm a trustee. What do I do now? And it basically all boils down to they don't really even know what the job entails. So to your point, what is a trustee? Well, a trustee, basically, you can think of it almost as a financial guardian, right? Somebody has delegated you or trust in you to hold assets for the benefit of some third party. That third party typically are the beneficiaries. And in most traditional estate plans, that would be the kids, right? So you have a mom and dad. Mom and dad are unavailable for whatever reason, and they may designate a good friend, maybe a sibling, to be the trustee. In other words, to take custody of the assets, to manage those assets, to hold those assets, and to diligently and responsibly allocate and use those assets for the benefit of the beneficiary. That's what a trustee does. And where people they get confused, because sometimes they say, well, I have custody of the assets. Are they my assets? Sometimes people think their sibling was so kind to give them the money. No. It's held in trust. You're a fiduciary. You're holding it for the benefit of a third party, the beneficiaries. That's the relationship of what a trustee is.
So when parents set up their trust and they name the trustee, that's done during their lives, of course.
Right.
When does the role of the trustee kick in? Is it right away when their name is trustee, or does it when the parents get sick or die? When does it actually start happening?
Okay, excellent. I mean, these are great questions. It's one of those depends answers, right? Because you have typically two scenarios. One, somebody can be designated a trustee, like an active trustee right now. So just say, for example, you happen to have an elderly parent, and normally you would have an adult child who's already helping mom or dad with their finances. I mean, they're kind of doing it already. They're just not doing it in the formal trustee capacity. But then mom will then engage in some type of formal estate planning, and then they may actually designate their adult child as a currently acting trustee. Mom is still perfectly fine. She's alive. She's competent. She just wants to give somebody else the responsibility of managing those finances. So it could be a position where someone is designated now and everyone's fine. Yeah. But again, getting back to our traditional estate planning, ordinarily the trust maker, let's say the husband and wife, they're typically their own trustee. So they create the trust for themselves. They are their own trustees because they are also the beneficiary. It's all them, and them. And then something happens, and you mentioned it. Someone gets sick. Typically, it's an incapacity. Somebody passes away. So that's where the then listed successor trustee, the sibling, they then spring into action. They step up, and they become the successor trustee. They then become the acting trustee because something happened to the current trustee, and that current trustee is unavailable. So that's when a successor steps up, and that's when we get the phone call.
Right.
I'm the trustee. What do I do?
Right.
Because something happened to mom or dad. Something happened to my sister or my aunt, and now I'm the trustee. this is where we get the phone calls.
Yeah. So, yeah. And this gets me into kind of the coaching aspect of it. But one question before we get into actually what is a trustee coach and what does that do is that I've heard you talk about before some of the problems when people become the trustees. One is they have this fiduciary responsibility. Right. So they're held to a high level and they really have to understand that. And there's some liability with that, but also if their assets are fairly sophisticated, let's say there's multiple properties or a business as part of the parent's trust, then that's where this person start. I mean, things can go sideways real quick, right? Because right. they've got to do accounting and all this stuff. Is that a good way to look at it?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, like when I'm acting as the trustee, I always look at myself as I'm quarterbacking a team. Okay. I don't have a particular expertise in widget making that their family was involved. I don't know anything about farming. I don't know anything about the real estate management of 4,000 doors. But my job is to find somebody, to hire somebody to do that and to supervise that person. That's where you look at the quarterback approach. And so when you have someone who doesn't know, and this is why I always say, they don't know that they don't know. And that's a very dangerous relationship because they then think that they have to do everything themselves. They have a responsibility. I'm the trustee. I have to do everything myself. That's not the right answer. The right answer is you have a responsibility to make sure the assets are productive. And that may mean hiring a property manager. It may mean finding a new management team for the company. It may mean selling an asset, but finding a proper person, a professional to help you with that sale. So the trustee really is acting as a quarterback. And this is where the coach comes in.
Right. Yeah. Because I was going to ask you on the coaching, they're right. the quarterback. And a lot of these kids, for instance, they don't want to pick some outside entity to be the trustee. It's their family.
Right.
They're the trustee. So you step in as a coach. What are you doing as a coach with these people?
Right. Exactly. So you got the sibling or you got the adult child. They're the quarterback. And like any type of professional athlete, a quarterback's going to have a quarterback's coach. We're going to make sure that quarterback trains properly. They show up at certain locations. They meet certain deadlines. They watch certain film before the big game, that they're ready. And that's kind of what we do. We work with the trustee. We make sure that there are certain timeframes and due dates that have to be accounted for as part of the responsibility, certain accounting, certain tax returns. They may have to work with real estate agents. They have to work with attorneys. There may be buy-sell agreements. They don't know what's going on. We right. can help them coordinate, keep that time frame, keep the whole process moving smoothly. And where necessary, as a lawyer, as the trustee's attorney, their coach attorney, yeah. we can actually attend those meetings for them right. and report back to the trustee. Because guess what? The adult child that you designated, they have their own life. They have their own business they have to operate. So rather than they themselves showing up, they can have the coach show up and represent the trustee at those engagements.
Got it.
I know that as a counselor, many times a lot of our more sophisticated clients will actually bring in with them to the meeting the trusted advisor. Although I'm talking to the client, the trusted advisor is there as a second set of ears.
Right.
Maybe to ask a question or two that the client themselves doesn't know what to ask. And so if the trustee themselves is involved in these types of engagements, they may not know what questions are to be asked. Maybe they want that second set of ears. That's, again, where the coach can come into play.
Yeah, love it. No, it makes a lot of sense. And yeah. So is it accurate to say that some of the pitfalls, if people don't get the trustee role right, they don't have a coach, are you know, it can lead to family, you know, family fights, family breakups, and even, you know, litigation against the trustee. Does that happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always go on the record and say that 99% of my trust litigation could have been resolved had we had some type of professional advisor in the process, whether it be a professional trustee. But as you correctly identified, some people don't want to have professional trustees either for cost purposes or just because of relationships, or they didn't even think about it.
Right.
So if it's not them, then maybe that individual trustee needs to have some advice, because even among the other beneficiaries, which typically may be the siblings of the trustee,
mm-hmm.
right? You may have the adult daughter, but what about the younger son and the other daughter, right? They're all brothers and sisters. They may now be second guessing, for whose benefit are you truly working? The beneficiaries themselves get a sense of comfort knowing that there's some professional walking this trustee through the process so that they're doing the most responsible job to their ability and getting some direct work, some direct advice from a professional. That's looking out for everyone's benefit.
Right. No, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And so as we wrap it up here, my question then is, if somebody listening to this out there wants to kind of understand what this coaching is all about, what happens? I mean, they get with you, and what's that discussion about? What do they need to be prepared for?
Well, the greatest thing that we always do is just like you and I, you just sit down and say, hey, listen, Paul, you're the trustee. You've been doing this for the last 6 months or 6 years. How's it going? What challenges are you having? What areas have you been successful in, and what areas are you having difficulty in? We try to find what are their capabilities, because we don't want to have to do work that they're doing just fine, but where they need some assistance, we can kind of come in and give them some assistance. What accountings have you done? What type of spreadsheets? What type of time frames have you given yourself? What type of communications have you done? So the first part that we do is interview, like anything else. I want to interview the current trustee to find out what have they been doing, or what have they not been doing and should be doing, or what are they doing that they shouldn't be doing.
Right.
So this way it allows us to kind of get a feel for the level of sophistication and what amount of help that they may need. And then we can then tell you, okay, this is how we can assist. I'm not taking away your power as trustee. I'm not taking away or interfering with your relationship with the beneficiaries. I'm here to help you do a better professional job for your beneficiaries.
Right. And Brad, and working alongside you for a few years or so now, I know that you're a great listener. And I think people listening to this, you know, it's a valuable trait to have, is just, you know, listening to what people have going on and, right, and then going from there. So Brad, thanks. Thanks everyone for listening. Until next time, we'll see you then.